This is The View from Pluto. I'm Amanda Rabinowitz with WKSU sports commentator Terry Pluto. The Browns front office says the hiring of Freddie Kitchens as head coach is all about building on last season's momentum. The team went 5-3 after Kitchens was promoted to offensive coordinator at midseason. Terry, you've always been against teams hiring inexperienced assistants as coaches, but this seems to be different.
Part of the problem was in terms of coaches with experience and then head coach. It's almost like Dan Gilbert, owner of the Cavs, used to say, experience at doing what? You know, being mediocre, experience of just kind of hanging on to a job, or experience of building a team. In other words, the experienced guys all had sort of significant issues. You know, one was Bruce Arians, who's 66 years old, went through cancer in 2016, and then a few years before that. He sat out this past year. Now, Tampa Bay did hire him. And the other coach that was available had a record was Mike McCarthy from Green Bay, who actually John Dorsey knew well. But he looked like a guy who needed a year off. Like, if you look at his face or whatever, he just looked really fried. At the press conference, there's a wonderful line from Kitchens, and they asked, well, how about being a first-year head coach? You think you're ready? And he goes, well, is anybody ready to be a parent the first time? I mean, you don't know. You think you read the childhood books and all that. You don't know what it's like until you go through it.
I think a big factor here was likely rookie quarterback Baker Mayfield.
Oh, sure. He is a huge factor in this entire thing because at the very least, the Browns have a pretty good quarterback with a chance to be much better than that. So therefore, you want to make sure he keeps going in that direction. That happened when Freddie Kitchens took over at midseason as offensive coordinator. He and Baker seemed to put together a bond. There's all kinds of before and after stats. In the second half of the season, Mayfield was a top 10 quarterback in the NFL with Freddie Kitchens. So then it's like, do you break that up? You finally found a quarterback and you have him working with a coach, granted not the head coach, but a coach who's running the offense. Or, you know, do you risk trying to bring in somebody else in? And so what they decided to do was, you know, keep Kitchens and then support him with some veterans assistants around him.
One thing that's always surrounded this team, aside from all the losing, is the internal discord.
Mm-hmm.
Players unhappy, coaches unhappy with the front office unhappy. It seems to be Freddie Kitchens, one thing that he brings is the way to bring everyone together.
I think what Dorsey, you're absolutely right, Amanda, is that they worked together during very trying circumstances after Hugh Jackson was fired and how to rally the team and get them together. And so John Dorsey in his front office wants a coach they know they could work with and isn't going to like go on his own agenda. I mean, Hugh Jackson did that. You know, they've had other coaches here. Mike Pettine, who is a coach, and Ray Farmer together, they were just pointing fingers at each other. And if you remember, Ray Farmer was even sending texts to the sideline, second-guessing the coach during games. It was crazy. You can't make this stuff up.
You know, one thing that's interesting about Freddie Kitchens is while maybe a lot of people haven't heard of him, he really connects with people in Cleveland. You're wearing the dog pound sweatshirt.
Right.
And just kind of saying, you know, this is me, I'm not going to change, attitude really connects with people.
I mean, he grew up in Gadsden, Alabama, but his dad worked for Goodyear and then kind of did plumbing on the side. And Freddie for a while was selling cars and washing trucks for a living. And this was a guy in high school. He was the top high school player in the state of Alabama and played quarterback at Alabama, started for 3 years in the middle 90s. And one thing he did say, which is true, that playing quarterback for Alabama, and one of those years I think they were like 3-7, you get used to being criticized and everything else. And he likes it up here. And I think, you know, a lot of times a guy like Kitchens relates more to a place like Cleveland than he would, say, if he were in New York or Los Angeles or somewhere like that.
Well, it certainly is interesting to come off of last season talking about 0-16, not knowing where this team was headed, and now it seems like the future is bright.
Right, you turn around, they go 7-8-1. Kitchens is saying that. Well, that's not acceptable to me. They're aiming high, but I think we're going to be moving into a different, you know, set of expectations around the team. But right now, it's like sort of the most fun because finally, you know, you open the Christmas presents, and they're actually with something you'd like to keep under the tree rather than, oh my goodness, more garbage.
Terry, thanks.
You're welcome, Amanda.
That's WKSU commentator Terry Pluto, who joins us Wednesday mornings to talk sports. At WKSU.org, he talks about how LeBron James helped the Cavs snap a 12-game losing streak.